Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Toby.
Am I allowed to shuffle this? I feel at a funny angle. Hey, it's lovely to be here. And thank you to the band especially. I've actually got some of your photos in my phone. Two soul survivors ago, you were kind enough to let me charge my phone in your tent. And then you all took photos with it. So if you'd like your photos back, they're fairly easily identifiable by your faces being on it. Yeah, and lots and lots of feet and other things as well. So thank you. Thank you very, very much indeed. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Ian. I'm married to the very lovely Sue, who's in pink this evening. We've got three boys. We've got a Campbell, an Ollie, a Joseph. None of them are married. So, you know, if you're keen, we're happy to do a deal. Yeah, but we'll pay for the wedding day because you get the rest of life. They're nice. They're nice boys. That's who we are. And it's so lovely to be here. It is such a privilege to be invited. Thank you. Thank you. My understanding is that you are doing a series on your favourite Teletubbies, or you're doing a series on Sunday evenings at the moment, is that right?
Promises, that's right.
Yes, you are. And you're looking at various promises through the Bible. And tonight, the promise is?
Receive.
Well done, Toby. Yeah. Toby's on message. Yeah. Well done, Toby. Definitely. So I've been told that I'm to come and talk on the topic of receive. And we've got this Bible passage that Lisa read for us. So here is what I say to you, Jesus says, ask, and it will be given. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. And then he goes on, Father, suppose your son asked for a fish. Which of you will give him a snake instead? Even though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So our topic tonight is receive. A promise in the Bible that we can receive. Let me ask you a question. What would you like to receive? What do you want? Go on, feel free, shout it out. The Baptists shout things out. I don't know much about the Baptist world. Come, teach me. What do Baptists want?
Grace.
You want grace? Oh, Toby. Toby's got all the corporate answers on the front row. Okay. Everybody, not including Toby, what do you want? A new job. Here, here. Have you got a job at the moment? But you'd like another job. Not a second job, but a new... Yeah, absolutely. What would other people like? What do you want? AD, what do you want, AD?
A new home.
A new home. Even bigger muscles.
No? Just a new home.
Okay, just the... Really? Praise God. Lovely that the baby's coming. Fantastic. Congratulations. Yeah. And other people, I'm assuming that you knew. Congratulations. Other people, what do you want?
Holiday.
A holiday. Interesting, isn't it? When it comes down to it, is it our English reserve that stops us from asking? Or is it that we're not very clear on what it is that we're hoping to receive? Let me ask you another question. Let's see if we do this one a bit better. When you think of John the Baptist... I know he wasn't in the passage tonight, but he will be in a minute, promise you. When you think of John the Baptist, what comes to mind? Go on, shout it out nice and loud. Toby, no. Locusts and wild honey. Very good, because that tame honey, we all know about the tame honey, don't we? Locusts, wild honey, what else? Baptism, prophet, wilderness. Yeah? That whole thing. Fascinating. This passage that we have today from Luke chapter 11, do take a look at it if you've got your Bible with you, on your phone or wherever else. You'll see that this little passage that we've got actually comes as part of a longer dialogue between Jesus and his disciples. And this passage that we're in tonight, learning about receive, actually begins with a question about John the Baptist. And when the disciples ask Jesus a question about John the Baptist, they don't say, oh, Jesus, you remember John the Baptist who has the locust and the wild honey? I'm not telling you off. That's what I think of as well. It's even what Toby said, so he's obviously right. They didn't say, Jesus, you know John the Baptist who lived in the desert? Go and have a look at the first verse or so of Luke chapter 11 that we're in tonight. And do you know what they say about John the Baptist? They say this: Jesus, can you teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray? In the disciples of Jesus' mind eye, the reputation that John the Baptist carried with him wasn't honey and goat's hair and camel skins. His reputation was that he was a man of prayer. That was the reputation that the disciples brought into this conversation about John the Baptist. So this question again. What would you like to receive? Because this evening we're going to have to see, because it's what the Bible says. So don't just get to make up the answers, yeah? We can do it the other way if you like. Yeah, pledge 100 quid to me now and put your hand and you can have it by the time you get. We can do it that way if you want, but instead we'll stay with the Bible. And the Bible, as it we'll see this evening, it says this: there's a connection between receiving and asking the Father. Just so you doze, in case you doze off, the punchline is this. Are you ready? Matthew 7, verse 11. Jesus says, the Father loves to give good gifts to those who ask. That's the punchline. Let's spend a few minutes getting between here where we are and there. Happy?
Yep.
Of course you're happy. You're at church. Very good. So, should we have a quick recap of the chapter? You've got it open in front of you now, giving you a chance to get it. Matthew, Mark, and then we get Luke, don't we? And we're in chapter 11. Famously comes after Luke chapter 10 and just before 12. This little chapter, it's got four sections, that the bit that we're in. It goes on, of course it does. But it comes in four sections, and here's a really quick recap of it. First of all, the first four verses. The disciples say, Jesus, teach us to pray just like John taught his disciples. We want to learn from you. And you remember what Jesus' answer was? Rather than getting into the technicalities of why we pray or the theology of it, like Toby got into there. Unbelievable. Unlike Toby, Jesus, he said, when you pray, pray like this. Is it all right to insult the minister in this? That's good.
They all do. So.
Good. I feel at home already. Jesus, rather than talking about the technicalities of it, what did he do in the first four verses of Luke 11? You know the answer already because you've looked at it already, haven't you? He said, when you pray, pray like this. And he launched straight into what we now know as the Lord's Prayer or the Great Our Father Prayer. So he starts off by praying, pray like this. And then in the next few verses, 5-8, Jesus tells a story about a man who is grumpy. A grumpy neighbor story. And this grumpy neighbor has been surprised by a late night guest, and he goes to his neighbor pounding on the door, asking for some food to serve to his unexpected late night guest. Now, of course, the point of that story, connect with prayer, is not that God is a grumpy neighbor who doesn't have enough in the house. But the point of the story, we know because Jesus makes the same point a second time now, is this. Is that, look, if even a grumpy, badly organized neighbor can deliver the goods when it's required, even that guy can do that. How much more when we pray to our Father in heaven? And Jesus, taking on the point even further, goes in verses 9 and 10, that there's a connection between asking, seeking, knocking, and finding, opening doors, and receiving. There's that little word for us this evening. There's a connection, says Jesus, between the asking, seeking, knocking, and the going through the open door. There's an action and a reaction. And then we get to verses 11 through to 13, and we get given this description from family life, how even miserable fathers have a reputation of giving okay things to their kids on occasion. And again, Jesus is painting this picture of what it can look like when it's bad to let us think, oh, my life. And we've got it so much better. The Father loves to give good gifts to those who ask. Let me try this one again. What do you want? What do you want? Because he loves to give good gifts to those who ask. And then, and here comes something which is fascinating. Verse 13. The disciples have started the conversation off saying, Jesus, we want you to teach us how to pray. So he goes through these four different steps that we've mentioned. But then they've asked one question, but Jesus is now going to take the opportunity to go even further with the answer than what their question originally had been about. Their topic was about praying. But Jesus takes the topic and he moves it on one. Have a look for yourself in verse 13. And Jesus says to them, it's so much better when you read it for yourself. That's why I keep on saying it. Don't worry. It's not just because I'm trying to be too lazy. Your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Do you notice this? This whole idea of receiving. You and I, we seem to have two natural weaknesses as human beings. One is, we don't always like asking for help. And we're not always in the habit of asking for the thing that we actually need. And yet Jesus here, through these four different arguments that he gives us, and then this fifth little add-on, he goes, guys, there's a connection between asking and receiving. Oh, and when you're asking, here's my little nudge to you all. Do ask for the Holy Spirit, won't you? Because that's what you really, that is who you really need to receive. Right. How was that for a little introduction summary? Happy? Very good. So far, so good. Toby's doing a college mark sheet there. How am I doing? Very good. Marvellous. I had a six-year-old doing my sermon feedback this morning. I didn't know about it either till I saw it appear on Twitter this afternoon. True story. True story. Right. So, this is a key. What we know is that when Jesus was asked about prayer, he highlighted several things, but then he finessed it by saying this. All of these how to pray, all of these reasons why you can trust God, all of them are leading to this, says Jesus, so that you can have confidence to ask for the Holy Spirit, and you will receive the Holy Spirit when you ask for him. So this is what we're going to do. I've broken it down this evening into four little things that I'm going to try and help us take away. Is that all right? Very good. I was told that the Baptist brethren like order and structure. So you're going to get four things from me this evening, and I'm going to go in numerical order, starting with one. Right. First of all, notice this. In order to receive, we have to pray to, finish the sentence for me, the Father. It's really easy to spot other people's mistakes. Not least of all, because I'm really good at making all of them myself. That famous phrase, you know, you point one finger that way, you got at least three coming back this way. We have to say at least three, because some of us come from the Isle of Wight, and who knows. So, again, sorry, I'm treating you as though we're friends already. I better just, my wife is giving me those calm down your humour jokes for a moment. Look, when we pray, it's to the Father. A couple of things to say about this. When we pray, we must be really clear that we're not praying to a God of our making up. There's so much to say on this one topic, and we certainly don't have time this evening. But here comes just a little quick acid test. You know the God that you have been praying to? When was the last time he disagreed with you? Because if the God that you're praying to isn't in the habit of quite regularly disagreeing with your point of view, chances are the God that you're praying to actually isn't God at all, but it's somebody else that you've made up in your head. The only true God, as revealed in the person of Jesus through the scriptures, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, my life does not match up to his. And so when I pray to him, I have to be very clear that I am praying to who he truly is rather than somebody I'm just imagining that he might be. That's a very simple point, but it's unbelievably profound. Now, when we pray to God, we have to remember this as well. Our prayers are, and don't take the metaphor too far, please, but prayers to God are vertical prayers. And the reason I say that is that prayer is not horizontal. Horizontal prayers are prayers that go between human beings. They're not prayers at all. That's just using the lectern or a prayer meeting to get some information shared how you want to. So, you know, back in the 1980s, there used to be a joke that went around. You know, Christians don't gossip, but we might share for prayer. That's not praying when you're talking on a horizontal level. And, oh Lord, we do pray that you would send Easley Baptist, the most wonderful Baptist minister, who would be aged 35 to 37 and be called my friend Brian, who's looking for a job at the moment, and da-da-da-da-da-da. That's a trivial example. You know exactly what I mean. When we pray to the Father, this is not our opportunity just to put some spiritual emphasis on the things that we want to say to other people. And if we're not speaking to the Father, we haven't really begun asking. And the Father loves to give good gifts to those who ask. Also, by the way, when we pray, we're to pray to the Father. We're not to pray to give a motivational speech to the guys around us. The church doesn't become more powerful because the guy with the microphone made everybody excited when he prayed. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's just an exciting meeting. There's nothing wrong with exciting meetings. I love them. They're great fun. But that's not the Holy Spirit. When we pray to the Father, not horizontally. And one last thing, when we pray to the Father, there's so much in all these things, I know that you know it. I'm teaching my grandmas how to suck eggs in many ways. But in order to receive, when we pray, these have to be heartfelt communications. The words don't matter as much as what we're trying to say. Toby rightly drew out from Romans 8. The Holy Spirit, he takes our words, the ones that we're struggling even to get out, and he's the one that takes them, he turns them into groans. Groans that our words can't even begin to describe. And he takes those groans to the Father, and he goes, Father, it's like this for Toby at the moment. And the reason why that's so important is it reminds us that when we pray, he is our Father in heaven. He is not our slot machine in some sort of spiritual waiting room. He is our Father in heaven. It's about relationship with a real person. This is what personhood is, not us, him. He is the one who is truly person, and we are made in his image. And that's why we pray to the Father. So much more to say about that, of course there is, but we need to dash on, don't we? Do you notice that what we learn here is that it's based on who he is, not on who we are? The example that Jesus gives is about fathers and children and food and bread and snakes and stones and other bits and pieces. It's not about our status, it's about the status of the family and the head of the family in particular. I remember a number of years ago, when I was growing up in Birmingham, if you ever got a chance to go around to Magdalene's house, you went. And you know why you went to Magdalene's house? Their family had cash. And they shopped at Waitrose. And their fridge was awesome. Their fridge was just absolutely blinking awesome. And the best thing about visiting Magdalene's house, true story, you were allowed it. And there was just this atmosphere in the house. You didn't have to say, would you be all right, Mrs.? It was just, it's fine, just go for it. Oh, my life, and you open up the French. Yeah, who knew what was all those years ago? Turns out it's a real food. They've been eating it for years in Magdalene's fridge. Just absolutely amazing. Now, notice this, that Jesus says it's not about the child, it's about the parent. And he wants us to know that when we pray, when we receive, what do you want? It's not based on what you've got now. It's not based on what you've had in the past. It's not based on who you are. It's based entirely on what Dad has put in the fridge. And guess what? He's got a great big fat credit account and he shops at Waitrose and he doesn't mind the family delving in. The Father loves to give good gifts to those who ask. I support the world's greatest football team, which of course, as you know, is Birmingham City Football Club. And for several years, when I would go a bit more regularly than now, there was this guy who every game would stand behind the home goal. And as our goalkeeper would run out, we've had several over the time, would have been Mike Taylor back in the day, Northern Ireland international. And as the goalkeeper would run out to the goal, this guy, now he'd obviously spent some time preparing. This guy, he would thrust his hand into a plastic bag. Then were the days. Remember plastic bags? He would thrust his hand into the plastic bag and he'd pull out all this blue and white paper that he'd cut up into thin strips. Birmingham City colours, yeah? And he'd pull out these thin strips of paper, and as Mike Taylor or the other goalkeeper would come up and jump on the thing, he'd throw hands full, hundreds and thousands of these little blue and white paper things he threw. Now, I never chatted to him, but you could tell almost what he was trying to do. You could just see that in his head there was this thing going on. I know that none of this really works, but maybe if I throw enough paper at the pitch, one day, maybe one little blue and one little white will get through and touch Mike Taylor's foot. And who knows, maybe that'll change his mental. And maybe the blade of grass and the ball, and maybe the match will all be changed because I threw thousands of things and maybe one of them will get through. Some sort of butterfly effect thing going on in Birmingham City. Now, I'm pretty sure that was what was going on in his mind. When we pray, we have to expect that we're going to receive. And the reason is this: if we approach the Father with an attitude where we're not already expecting to receive, it's as though we're the Birmingham City fan chucking out thousands of things, going, actually, I know that you don't care, and I know that this doesn't work, and I know that it doesn't da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The Father loves to give good gifts to those who ask. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence we have. We know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have what we asked of him when it's according to his will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Confidence in approaching God. Two more things to go. We've done one and two. I suggest number three comes next. It's to the Father. It's based on who he is and not on us. Don't be afraid to be persistent. The story here isn't about God being a grumpy neighbour. It's saying, even if he were, you'd still get what you're asking for. The tense of the verb is an ongoing tense. It isn't just knock, it's keep on knocking. Keep on knocking. I don't know how we're doing for time. Do I need to hurry up?
No.
You want to, in which case, we'll pause for a little moment of humour. I can't do funny jokes, but you know this one, don't you? You know the one of the squirrel? Yeah? Squirrel comes up to the school window. Teacher's trying to do a maths lesson. Squirrel knocks on the window. Oi, mate. Oi, oi, oi. Teacher opens the window. Guess what you're doing? You're knocking my window. Squirrel goes, yeah. Mate, got any nuts? Teacher goes, no, I haven't got any nuts. Next day, teacher trying to do an English lesson. Squirrel's at the door. Oi! Oi! Teacher opens up the window. What is it, mate? He goes, oi, have you got any nuts? Teacher says to the squirrel, no, I haven't got any nuts. Next day, squirrel's like, oi! Oi! You got any nuts? Teacher's like, mate, I'm trying to do history. No, I haven't got any nails. You come back tomorrow, I'm going to nail your feet to the floor. I'm going to skin you from limb to limb, and that'll be the end of you. Next day, squirrel comes to the window. You know the punchline already. Oi, oi, oi. Teacher opens the window. He goes, I've warned you. You got any nails? No, I haven't got any nails. Oi, you got any nuts? Anyway, look, it's not a great joke. But hopefully it's enough to trigger something in the memory. The verb here is not to knock. The verb is to knock in a squirrel-like manner. Oi! Oi! Have you got any nuts? That's what the Greek actually means. To keep on asking. This is the same thing that Jesus says in John chapter 15. If you abide in me, if you live in me, if you're there all the time, You and I were one. There's this ongoing conversation. It's just going on and on and on and on. If you're persistent in this, like Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, to pray without ceasing. True story, about 20 years ago when we were living in Fair Oak, there's a guy called Nick Gosling, and Nick Gosling is the guy that you get to come to do anything when you need practical help. One day, Nick Gosling had a phone call from one of his many people who knew this, and they said, Nick, come round here. Our wall has suddenly gone red hot. Little ordinary house in Fair Oak, and inside the lounge, this elderly couple, their wall wasn't just like warm with a radiator, it was like bonkers hot. They said, well, what have you been doing? They said, well, we thought that what we'd do was open up the old fireplace that used to be here. We went and had a cup of tea, and when we came back, look at it. And now there's what looks like smoke beginning to come out of it, and the whole of the wall is hot. Anyhow, somebody else came running around to the house, and they said, there's smoke coming out of your chimney. I thought you shut that thing down years ago. They said, yeah, we did, but we're just trying to open it up now. Nick's here to sort it out. Nick said, let's get the fire brigade round. They did, and the boys came round. They ended up sledgehammering it open, and they ended up having to pour a whole load of water in. Get this, this is a true story. What had happened, said the fire officers when they did the investigation, when this family had bricked up this fireplace years before they then exposed the fireplace, a tiny little spark had lodged itself in this giant piece of oak timber. Sort of 14 inches square and 6 feet long, this oak timber was. And years before, they'd plastered over it to get the modern 1980s look or whatever it was at the time. And now in about the year 2000, as they chiseled through the plaster and opened it up, it finally got the air that it wanted. And having sat dormant for 20 years, this fire that had been sparking, 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 doing almost nothing for more than 10 years, one morning in Fair Oak suddenly went whoosh. Here comes a true story that you're going to have to concentrate with, but it's brilliant. I have a friend, I have three friends, called Daniel, Zoe, and Eleanor. They're my generation. And when we were late teens, early 20s, I forget, it would have been late teens, Daniel was just coming to the end of his Russian degree. And he said to me, Fletch, I'm learning this Russian and I really want to be able to use it for missionary work. What shall I do? I said, well, I know this organization that are looking to plant churches in Russia, so maybe I could connect you with them. Sounds good, doesn't it? Now, let me just give you a quick recap on Daniel's family. Daniel's family are amazing. He has the most amazing mum and dad. Dad was in military intelligence in what is now Sudan, but long ago, and he was like a bona fide, almost James Bond spy type guy. He got radically saved by Jesus and born again. And as a result, he, instead of wanting to kill the tribesmen, which was his job in covert missions, he instead came back to the UK, retrained as a doctor, learned a load of Arabic and other language skills, and then went back to the same part of Sudan and lived in tents, doing the proper out there beyond everybody else missionary work with his then new wife, Anna. And she is a linguist, brain the size of China, and she, over the next 20 years, translated the Bible into a language that had never even been written down before through OMF, that missionary fund I'm working with, Wycliffe Bible Translators and other people in partnership. And their three kids, just the most amazing family. And here's Daniel saying, I want to do some Russian translation for the glory of God. You with me so far? So off they went, they did their trip, they got back to Heathrow. And when they arrived at Heathrow, Daniel's mum went to go and pick him up. At the same time, the boss of the organization, Agape Campus Crusade, the guy's called David Wilson, you might know him, he went to pick up his guys that had just got back from their fact-finding mission from a place called Ufar in Bashkortostan. And they said, look, let's just get a quick coffee together. You know, that little McDonald's or whatever it is just up the road. Let's get a quick coffee together before we go our separate ways. Let's have a quick debrief now. Daniel, forgive me, Daniel's mum, Anna, you with me? Anna, the amazing missionary mum, Bible translator lady, she went up to get the coffees with David Wilson, the boss of the missionary organisation. And as they're standing getting the coffees, he said to her, now I know you from somewhere, don't I? And all the Christians know each other, don't they? So it's not that surprising. Where do I know you from? No, it's not there, it's not there, it's not there. No, it's not there, no. Well, where do I know you from? And he said to her, what was your maiden name? And she said, Disney. I was Anna Disney. He said, no. He said, look at this. He opened up his Bible, and he had a list of about 15 or 20 names. And he said, I've prayed for you every day for the past 40 years. True story. He said, I met you when you were an undergraduate student at Queen's over in Ireland, when she was doing her first undergraduate English degree. And he met her when he was out on the street doing street evangelism with a student team, when he was a student as well. And she told him that she had no faith, that she didn't believe in God, and that the only way she believed in God is if he revealed himself to her somehow. The two walked away and never spoke again for 40 years. Anna came over to Oxford to carry on as a graduate, ended up doing her postgraduate bits and pieces and whatever else. And one day, when she was at her lowest ebb, convinced that there was nothing beyond the physical reality of the world, she had this vision. One thing led to another. She got radically saved. She got really well discipled by some people. She became the most amazing missionary, had three incredible children. By the way, two of the three are now in overseas missionary work. One of them's in Cambodia translating the Bible into the Khmer language. You think the Sudanese stuff is nuts. You should see this. It is amazing the legacy that came. Do you know what? Prayer, persistent prayer. Got any nuts? Persistent prayer, even when you can't think that you're seeing what's going on, it's like that little spark. It's just waiting one day for the Father to say, yeah, now is the time that I'm going to breathe on it, and it's going to go whoosh. Just amazing. I want to give you a really quick example from our own little world. Sue and I, we worship at Eastleigh Parish Church. And 6 years ago, the whole of the income for our parish church was £23,500. Now, 12 months ago, we committed to spending a very similar amount on a children's and family minister. Amazing! What complete transformation that the Lord has blessed us with so much money, we can pay for a children's and family minister. £2,000 less than you're asking, by the way. Yeah, we know we got competition. Don't you worry. Do you want to know something? We've advertised this job 3 times now. Do you know how many applicants we've had? Applicants. 0. What's that about? We have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And the reason I tell you that story is this. We haven't got to the hole through the wall spark fiery thing with that one yet. We're still David Wilson with 15 names in his Bible going, Lord, I don't know where these people are. That's where we're at with this. Join us in it. Got any nuts? Last thing, number 4. Of all the things you might ask for, what do you want? I'm not telling you off. For all of those are good things. Of course they are. And it's absolutely right that we ask the Father for what we need. It's absolutely right. But notice this. The disciples start by saying Jesus teaches how to pray, so he demonstrates it. Then he does a bit of the information behind it. It's all about the nature of the Father. It's not about us. It's to the Father, not to somebody else. It's not based on who we are, and it's about being persistent. So Jesus actually answers their question extremely well. And then he says, but guys, what I really want you to receive is the Holy Spirit. My dad, Arnold Watson, is a genius with family finances. My parents will tell you a story of how they were extremely hard up at one point in their early married life. My dad was very, very poorly, and mum was at home with four kids. I was one of them, so I bless myself for making the Lord look good in this story. But nevertheless, my dad did something amazing with our family finances just to get us through it. And God was very generous as well. And I can remember so clearly as a child seeing my dad at his bureau again and again and again with all of the money out. He had different piles of money, different piles of receipts and notes and whatever else. And I must have asked my dad at least 20 times as a child, "Dad, can I have all your money?" Because it looked like there was tons of it. And every single time, Dad used to give me the same answer. And those of you who are parents will know the answer was, "Yes, so long as you do with it all the things that I need to first." What a boring answer, Dad. You know, at the time, I just wanted to buy a petrol go-kart or something. I don't know what I was going to buy with it. "Dad, can I have all your money?" "Yeah. But only so long as you do with it all the things I need to first." Here's the thing. When we ask our Father in relationship with him, when we know who it is we're praying to, not just the slot machine, not the wrong idea, when we ask him whatever it is that we're asking for, it doesn't matter what we're asking for, when we do it persistently, and as we get to know him and let him speak to us, as he does mainly through the Bible, what we discover is the one thing that he keeps on saying back to us, as it were, is, "Of all the things that I'd love you to ask for, I'd just love it if you asked to receive the Holy Spirit." When we pray, in order to receive, we pray to the Father. We pray based not on ourselves, but based entirely on who he is and how full his fridge is. We pray hoping to receive in such a way that is ongoing and persistent. He hasn't got any nails. Just keep on asking for the nuts. And when we pray, looking to receive, of all the things we might ask for, God is really keen to give us his Holy Spirit. And why is he so keen to give us his Holy Spirit? Lots of reasons, but Jesus summed it up nicely. When you receive the Holy Spirit, then you'll be my witnesses. Because you'll receive power from on high, and you'll be able to make me known to the very ends of the earth. Even SO50. Hey, hope those are some helpful thoughts as we think about receiving. The Father loves to give good gifts to those who